From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. I'm online sports producer Justin Spears, joined here by Utah football writer for the Salt Lake Tribune, Lynn Worthy. Lane, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Sorry, called you Lane. Lynn. Lynn Worthy. So, Lynn, you drove down here from Phoenix, flew out here from Salt Lake City. You're here covering the Utah-Arizona football game. Utah comes into this contest ranked 23rd in the country. And, I mean, this is a game where, speaking from an Arizona standpoint, this is kind of a season-toning game because Arizona's 2-1 now. They go into this game looking to get 3-1 and go into a bye week. But, of course, Utah can spoil that. So, first things I just got to ask you is pretty much the biggest story from out here is Darren Carrington, the Oregon transfer wide receiver. He came into Utah and has made a big impact. Can you just talk about him and what he's meant to the Utes for the first couple games this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was for Utah, they haven't had a receiver put up the sort of numbers that he's put up or be that sort of a go-to guy, big play receiver, probably for years. I mean, and sort of a running debate now is like, you know, has he been the best one they've had during Coach Whittingham's era? Has he been the best one they've had ever? And, you know, going back and forth. But, I mean, just in terms of recent years, like he's at 400 and I want to say it was 9 yards receiving through three games. To put it in perspective, last year's leading receiver for the season was like 700 and something. The second leading receiver was like between 400 and 500. So he's almost through three games up to what their second leading receiver for all of last year was. He's a guy who's been an all-conference guy in the past. He's been the go-to guy for their sophomore, first-year starting quarterback, Tyler Huntley. He's just been a big play guy. He's in an offense that they have a first-year coordinator and they're passing the ball a lot more. He's made, you know, a huge difference. And he's also, as you expect, teams will start focusing on him more and trying to take him out. He'll probably be the one who sort of opens things up for the other receivers who don't necessarily have that background or pedigree that he has.
Now, Carrington's an interesting story because, of course, you know, he had his fallout at Oregon. He was getting some off-field issues. Was he kind of, does he need Utah or does Utah need him?
You could make the case with both. Utah needed him for the reason that I mentioned in terms of their passing game and giving them that type of a go-to receiver and fitting into this new offense. But also for him, just because everything that people have sort of heard about him has been mostly, okay, talented guy, but was getting into trouble. So for him, in terms of sort of what you want to call it, rehabilitating his image, that sort of thing, giving him another chance to sort of show what he can do, looking into to going to the pros, you could definitely say that he needed it. And then also, just so far this offense that they've had, he's been, you know, a focal point, which he probably wasn't, or definitely more to the not to this extent, at least when he was in Oregon. And you know, and we a couple of us I helped out, but Aaron Falk from our staff did a big feature on him. We talked to some of his family, some of the Utah staff, some people that, you know sort of the background with him. And I think for him this was sort of a chance to start over and show people that the things that you heard about him off the field weren't necessarily, you know, all there was to him. So I think both of them sort of needed each other. And for Utah, they definitely needed it. They didn't have really a guy with that sort of a makeup and that sort of background on their roster.
Now, still sticking with the offensive side of the ball, one quarterback, Tyler Huntley, pretty much one of the biggest surprises for me for Utah this year, because I was really honed in on Troy Williams being the starting quarterback, and then I didn't even know that there was a quarterback battle until Utah said, hey, Tyler Huntley's our guy. What do you like about him?
Well, the big thing with him was his athleticism. I mean, he's their leading rusher right now, and then he's also passed for – 300 yards back-to-back games, which for Utah's offense they hadn't had since 2008.
Wow.
He, as you mentioned, he unseated a senior co-captain, second-year co-captain at quarterback in Troy Williams. And, you know, it was sort of a surprise, but at the same time, they'd said going all along that it was going to be an open competition. And really, they said that all three of them were sort of in it because they had the Alabama transfer, Cooper Bateman, who's from Utah, came back and joined the program in the spring. I don't know how much, and they said all three. I was never really sure how much Bateman was really an option, but you knew Troy started all games last season. They went 9-4, you know, returning starter, and that was after having transferred. So he's, you know, he got that one season under his belt. Now he's the senior co-captain again. You figured he was going to hit the ground running, but they said all along that they were going to see how it played out. And you got these little hints that Tyler was, you know, his athleticism gave him a leg up. He was really accurate. And then when they made the announcement, it's been full steam ahead for Tyler so far. I mean, his first game, you saw him run for, I think it was close to 100 yards, and then again against BYU, he led them in rushing, and also threw for 300 yards. And then the last game, he's thrown for 340. So I mean, he's definitely a great athlete, and he can throw the ball. He's not just a runner. It's just a matter of now people are worried about how much he's running and whether or not he's going to be able to hold up.
That brings up a pretty good point there. But what do you see difference-wise between last year and this year, just between the two quarterbacks?
Well, Huntley's definitely, he gives you a little more of a big play threat dynamic. He can extend plays because his running ability, and he can, if he gets out and run, he can make a big play with his legs. Troy last year didn't quite run as much, but also in the middle of last year, or towards the end of last year, come to find out that he had a knee injury that he was playing with, so he was healthy this year. He was talking about running a little bit more this year in the preseason, but Huntley is just sort of on another level in terms of athleticism. And again, he's a good passer, accurate passer, and he's played in this type of a spread system that they've sort of really gone to more this year with the new offensive coordinator, Troy Taylor. So I think with him, it's just a matter of being able to make plays when stuff breaks down, he can still make a big play happen. I think that's the big difference with Tyler, and that's one of the reasons they decided to make him the starter.
All right, now let's go over to the defensive side of the ball. We asked Rich Rodriguez what he thought about Utah's defense, and he said this is probably the most athletic Utah defense he's ever gone up against in his time at Arizona. He really talked about the linebackers and their athleticism. See, my thinking is because Brandon Dawkins, Arizona's quarterback, he's really struggled with making decisions on the fly. You can see a lot of screen passes, especially against Houston, where if he just put his foot down and just aimed for his chest, it could easily be a 12, 15-yard play, but he overthrows it, and Arizona's offense just can't get a rhythm. I'm sitting here thinking Utah's going to blitz all night long and force Dawkins to pretty much make quick decisions and make him think on his feet real quick, which will also result in him getting out of the pocket and running. And, of course, Utah's athleticism will be able to keep up. How do you see Utah's defense faring against Arizona tomorrow?
Well, I know his Dawkins' ability to run and get out and make big plays is something that they're definitely worried about. They were starting to talk about it on Monday that, okay, we need to, you know, keep him in the pocket. They need to, you know, be disciplined out in the perimeter. Defensive ends are going to be a big game because, you know, a lot of times they'll be the ones that he's reading off of, whether it's going to be an option, a zone read or something like that. And then the defensive backs, you know, we're talking a lot about, okay, we have to make sure that we stay on our guys because he's going to run around and extend plays. They were already talking about we're going to have to defend for longer. You're going to have to be, smart with, you know, depending on what coverage you're in, whether or not you try and come up and make the tackle, or you have to stay with your guy or stay in, you know, in your zones and your things. So they know that Dawkins is going to put a lot of pressure on their defense. At the same time, that front seven for Utah is pretty loaded in terms of, you know, you've got two defensive tackles who people probably think would be in the running for all conference. Definitely Lo Tulele, who's, you know, his older brother Star was an All-American, is playing for the Carolina Panthers now, and he's in that same sort of a boat in terms of just his ability. Four-year starter now, has been the all-conference honoree. Filippo Mocafisi in there next to him is another guy who's been a fifth-year senior, who's been a starter, who's played some end-to-end tackle. So those two guys up the middle are solid. They'll rotate some other guys in at that spot, but those two start. Kylie Fitz on the defensive end. There's another guy who was injured last year, got another year, who comes back and is going to be a big-time pass rusher. Another guy who they think should be an all-conference type of a guy. And then Bradley and I, who's a sophomore on the other end, they really like, takes over that spot where you had Hunter Nimick. And they've been really impressed with what he's done so far. And they've got some other guys who have rotated in there, including Caleb Rep, who's a converted wide receiver, actually, who's now playing. He's got up to about 230, 235, and is going to play some defensive end. And played a little bit last week when Fitz came out because he got dinged up a little bit. So that defensive line, and then the linebackers, they got a lot of guys who are, you know, juniors, seniors. They don't have a whole lot of depth necessarily. They got four guys that they really are confident in. You know, starting with Kavika Luafatasanga, who's, you know, a senior. He's their main guy in the middle. It was a transfer last year. He sort of had up and down play, but played really well at the end of the season. So now they've seen him this year sort of stay at that level, which is sort of the question was whether or not they're going to see him play like he did at the end or beginning of last season. Sunia Tautioli is one of the older guys, you know, in FBS, who's a 26-year-old linebacker, a senior, makes big plays. He had the diving interception after the ball that got tipped last week. He missed part of the BYU game because of targeting, and they sort of felt his loss. But so they got some guys that in that top, you know, that front seven, the linebacker defensive line, that, you know, they have real confidence in, guys they've seen play well, guys that they know what they can do. And, you know, that was not really a big concern for them when you looked at what they have on defense. It was more other areas.
I feel like you named like a dozen guys right there. And I mean, and that's pretty impressive because that's a front seven right there. And you just have constant fresh legs, always moving. So you're thinking that they're going to be bringing the house all night long. Or do you think that Dawkins, they're going to make Dawkins sit in the pocket and make him think about decisions?
I think they'll be putting some pressure on. That's what Utah does. I mean, and when you look at their defensive backfield, what they say is you guys are going to have to play man coverage because that's the way we do it. They're going to bring guys up in the box to stop the run, and they're going to bring blitzes. So you got to be able to play man defense. So that's what they ask their defensive backs to do, and that's game to game. So they're going to make you make plays in the passing game. The thing with Dawkins is just they're going to have to be real disciplined about how they rush and not getting too far upfield, not giving him lanes to get out and make plays, but I think they're going to put pressure on him.
Talk about Kyle Whittingham, because I don't know how long you've been in Utah, but when I think of Utah, I think about their heyday with Urban Meyer and all those great seasons that they had. And now Greg Hansen actually put out an article for the Arizona Daily Star talking about how Utah has kind of leapfrogged Arizona. And Kyle Whittingham hasn't been at Utah as long as Rich Rodriguez has been at Arizona. So what's kind of the I could be wrong. What's kind of the mindset in Salt Lake City behind this team?
Well, Whittingham is actually a guy who's been around for a while because he was an assistant there with Urban. There was some thought at one point in time whether or not he was going to go to BYU because he's a BYU alum, but he stayed with the program in Utah. And he's seen them transition from Mountain West to Pac-12. And so the thing with them has been, how would they make that transition? They were a really good Mountain West team annually, but moving up to Power 5, would they be able to compete? How would they be able to recruit? And now, after the first couple of years, so they get in their footing, now they've been, you know, 8-9 win team pretty regularly, and now they see that their recruiting is starting to pick up, where you get 5-star-type, 4-star-type guys. You know, their freshman defensive back, Jalen Johnson, was a guy who pretty much could have gone anywhere. And he's, you know, and he decided to come to Utah. You know, Tyler Huntley wasn't necessarily that widely as a recruited guy when they got him, but he was the Florida Player of the Year, Gatorade Player of the Year in high school, and ended up bringing a couple of his high school teammates with him who are, you know, all in the two deep, Zach Moss, the starting running back, and Damari Simpkins. So they're starting to get to that point, and again, who's committed for next year, Jack Tuttle is one of the, he was an Elite 11 quarterback who's, you know, right now playing for Mission Hills in San Diego area, but he's committed and plans to, as of the summer, was planning to sign early and be on campus this spring. So the big thing was, how would they make that adjustment? And so far, they've been able to compete, and now they're starting to pick up their recruiting level. And now the question is, okay, when are they going to get over the hump and get that South title? Because they've been in the running. They just haven't won it yet, and there's been a bunch of teams have gotten in the last couple of years since Utah's been in the Pac-12. So that's the thing now, is when are they going to make that next step to winning the division and competing for, you know, Pac-12 title.
One guy that everybody is familiar with on Utah is Cody Ippolito, Arizona transfer. He's a grad transfer. I know you didn't mention him on the defensive end, so is he pretty much going to be not involved as much as Arizona fans think he is?
He hasn't been early, so, I mean, like, I'm trying to remember if he was, I think he might have been a little bit dinged up when he, during preseason, but he's, and one of, and my tag team partner there, Chris Cameron, he talked to him a little bit earlier this week, because he was writing about Arizona and Rich Rod, you know, sort of, you know, trying to have that bounce back season, but he hasn't been a big factor yet defensively. Again, they've had a lot of guys who, you know, were back in the defense.
They're loaded.
That linebacker spot, so, I mean, you had four guys who all played last year who were juniors and seniors who were back this year. So he's probably in that next group behind that.
So, again, game time tomorrow set for 7:30. Star Wars night at Arizona night. I don't know if you knew that, but what do you think the game is going to go? What do you think the pace is going to be, and what do you think the final score is going to be?
Ooh, I don't know about final score, but I know Utah has really tried to pick up the pace this year offensively. They did the no huddle. They got the spread. The new offensive coordinator, Troy Taylor, was at Eastern Washington last year where they put up big numbers of points. So they're trying to go at a faster tempo. At the same time, it's going to be the first time playing against this level of opponent because, you know, they put the games earlier in North Dakota. BYU is, you know, on there is a rivalry game, but BYU struggled this year. And then San Jose State. This is one of those games where it's going to be, you know, everybody's sort of waiting to see how good exactly is Utah. So there's still a lot of question mark here in terms of, you know, we've seen what they've done so far, but everybody says, yeah, but what's it going to look like against a Pac-12 opponent? So there's still some up in the air. So I expect it to probably be close. I just don't know what to say. I'm not real great at picking scores, but I think the tempo might be one of those ones where it's a little choppy just because, you know, first time against this level opponent, whether there's going to be mistakes, turnovers, penalties. Utah's had some games where they've had high penalty numbers, and then some game in the last game they sort of cleaned it up a little bit. So I'd expect a fast pace, but I think at some point it might get to be bogged down a little bit just because, you know, first time taking a step up in competition level.
I'm going to go ahead and say Utah gets the win. Just because, like you said, that athletic defense, I don't think Arizona has played an athletic defense like this. Sure, they played against Houston. They went up against Ed Oliver, who's a beast, probably a top three player just in college football in general, and probably a top five draft pick next year. But I think eventually, I agree with you, I think it's going to be one of those games where both teams might get bogged down. But I like Darren Carrington. I mean, I like the production he's brought, especially with Tyler Huntley. I mean, it just seems like there's a spark in Utah's offense.
Oh, there definitely has been so far. The question that sort of people are looking at this week is like, okay, Arizona definitely knows that. They're definitely familiar with Carrington from his time at Oregon. Everybody expects, okay, sooner or later, and probably this week, defense is going to gear themselves towards taking him away and making other guys beat him. And so now the question is, you know, that's part of the question mark. Okay, are Raylon Singleton, Samson Nakua, Damaris Simpkins, the other receivers going to make enough plays to win the game, assuming that, you know, Arizona finds a way to sort of take Carrington away, or at least minimize what he's done the last couple of games where he's, you know, he's had, you know, 10 catch games, 100 yards every game, already 400 yards receiving. Like, you expect that Arizona's going to try and take at least, you know, try and cut that in half at least. So are the other guys going to be able to do enough to get you a win? We're not really, I don't think there's a whole lot, you know, Utah people who are sure about that yet. So this is going to be the time to find that out. And then also just, you know, Huntley still only had three games starting. What's it look like now against the Pac-12 defense, even though Arizona's defense has got a lot of young guys out there too. So there's still some questions. You'd think Utah might have the edge, but they're also playing on the road with a lot of young guys too. I mean, they had, I think it was more than 10. I got to remember what the actual number was, but it was more than 10 first-time starters between both sides of the ball. So you got some youth. You got, you know, in key spots. There's still a question, but, you know, it should be a good game. It should be a test for both teams, you know, and conference opener for both teams. So,
like you said, a lot of questions and a lot of answers will be provided after Friday night. Salt Lake Tribune's Lynn Worthy, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Again, you can download the Wildcaster app on iTunes or Google Play, and, of course, you can always subscribe to the podcast on Apple. Or you can always check us out at Tucson.com.